Let's go to Isaiah 54:9. This is really going to help you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. You having a good week?
Yes.
I'm telling you, if you're not, you're doing it wrong. Because you can have a good one, and this is going to prove it to you tonight. Isaiah 54:9. Are we online yet? Welcome. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're with us tonight. Isaiah 54:9. For this is as the water of Noah, waters of Noah. Y'all still going? You there? Praise the Lord. Waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. How about that? The wrath is not for us. Now, here's 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy, that hath and mercy together don't work too good, has mercy on thee. There are so many things here in these verses. There are just so many things. But right now, I just want you to look at covenant of peace. Covenant of peace. That's an important thing. And we've been talking about imagination and using our imagination. And we talked about that if you're going to use it, you have to use it the right way. You want to, when you're worshiping the Lord, you want to have the right thoughts. When you're praying, and just when you're in general thinking about your future and thinking with the Lord about your future, you want to be having the right thoughts and use your imagination. But if you use your imagination to worry, you're going to end up in chaos and confusion. And if you use your imagination to create a good future, then you're going to have freedom and power. And so you will decide. And you're in charge of your mind. As Pastor Nancy says, your mind goes where you go. So if you're just going to let it run you into crazy stuff, it'll be your fault. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, but that's just the truth. That's no one else's fault but yours. If you're going to let all these thoughts entangle and then you're going to talk them up, then it's your fault. Okay. So, but we can do what's right. And I want to minister something to you that I think will really help you. I think it'll help you every day of your life if you get in on this. I want to talk to you about peace. And it's really a much deeper subject than we usually go into. But I believe more now than ever we really need to get into this. So I went back and I was looking at a few statements, a couple of things I want to say to you right here as we're going to step into this. Because you may not realize this, but a great measure of your character is how you handle loss. Okay? A great measure of your character is how you handle loss. How do you handle loss? In your life, I'm not trying to make a faith statement or a doubt statement or anything else, but every one of us will or have and will again experience some kind of loss. People die. People leave. People steal. People put up walls. Sometimes you've lost some money. Sometimes you've lost some momentum. But things like this have happened to all of us, and maybe we didn't even do it, but because of someone else's behavior or some sort of little accident or something, or maybe it was our fault, but sometimes you lose. Boy, I even hate to say that. I just don't like it. But we have to understand that it's how we handle it that is crucial. And you can't faith away loss. No matter what I do, somewhere along the line, a loved one will go to heaven. My parents are there. My grandparents are there. That's proof right there. My oldest brother is there. Both of my oldest brothers are there. And we could go on and on. Our dogs go, our kitties go, whatever. And then there's just sometimes, you lose at other things. You think you've got something locked in. It doesn't work out. You understand what I'm saying. I know you don't like this kind of talk, but I have to tell you this. So even if you make the right decision, sometimes you lose. But here's the thing about that. Anytime we see the word loss, we see pain. Pain comes with loss. Just admit it. It does. But this is the good part. Everything can be restored. Your feelings, everything. Now, you may not be able to get somebody back from heaven. Sometimes you can. If you resurrect them, you know, they'll come back to life. You know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, my mom's been there since I was like 30 years old. So that's a long time ago. Yeah. Sort of. But I will get her back.
Oh, yeah.
See? Yeah. She exists right now. My mother exists right now. So I will get her back. My doggy exists. Whether you think so or not, dogs don't go to heaven. Yes, they do. Now, I don't know if they actually go to heaven, but I know God can create that little critter again for me because he created her in the first place. Okay. Now, but what we see is we talked about rebuilding, renewing, and restoring, remember? Well, Father's all about that. He wants to, whatever the loss has been, he wants us to get it back. You know, pursue, overtake, and recover.
Right.
He wants us to have it back. So we know that keeping our minds renewed daily is a big part of that. Go over to Philippians 4:6. You know it, but I want you to go there. We're gonna look at this as we start talking here about peace. Because we're going to get back what's been stolen.
Amen.
Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, say peace.
Peace.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, say all understanding. We'll keep your heart and hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is peace that passes all understanding? Have we really stopped and thought about that, or we just stick it up there? Oh yes, Father, bless them with a peace that passes all understanding. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means two things. First of all, it means that it's peace that wouldn't naturally be there. That's one thing it means. And the second thing it means is it's a peace that can be there even if you don't understand the whole situation.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It passes the understanding. And it's so important. Another valuable aspect of peace is that you use it in your decision making. We say, let peace be your umpire. That's a scripture, right? Let peace be your umpire. So there's just so much more. But now, we've just said what peace that passes all understanding is, but let's just narrow it down then. What is peace? What really is peace? Well, we know it's a fruit of the Spirit, but let's get out ahead of that. Okay, so is it the absence of war? I think it's far deeper than that, than what we've understood even. People think peace is the absence of conflict. Well, if we could just have some peace in this house. You've heard it. Our mamas all said that while we're running around. Ah, you know. So, and then some people think if you empty your mind, you can go into mindless tranquility. That's not peace. That's stupid. Anyway, so peace is a tangible anointing that comes from Holy Spirit. Peace is a person. Peace is protection. Peace is a position, and peace is power. Now think about it. When we pray peace over someone, we're not asking God to quiet them down and accept difficult situations and come into some kind of tranquility. That's not really what we're praying. If we say, oh Lord, help them, we just pray the peace that passes understanding will be over so and so, right? We're not just saying, now quiet them down, Lord. Quiet them down. Help them be tranquil while they're in this situation. That's not what we're saying. I can tell you that right now. Amen. So we're actually asking Holy Spirit to come and make right all of what's wrong. We want everything that's wrong to be right in that person's life, to bring healing to them. To bring healing to the situation, to bring restoration to their mind, to their body, to bring order to chaos. To bring order to chaos. That's the main thing. And you know, you're like, well, what, you know, you can't change the situation if someone dies. No, but you can, a person can live in peace when they do. Doesn't mean there's not pain, but there can be peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, if you don't know how to pray for someone, I'll tell you how. Pray peace. Pray peace over them. Now, just to help us understand a little more, let's look at Ephesians 6:14. Go over to Ephesians 6:14. You know this. And I know you like it. Amen. Thank you. The armor of God, right? All right, here we go. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we're not going to go into the armor. I just want to point out that the gospel of feet, shod peace, shod your feet with the gospel of peace. They call it the sandals of peace in some of the ways they write it. Now, here we see this is a part of the armor of God, like we said. So what are shoes all about? They're all about walking. Shoes are about walking. They're about advancement. Can I tell you, no matter how tight you put your shield on and no matter how hard you wave your sword, you're not going to get anywhere without peace. Peace is the thing that steps you forward. Amen. We move forward in peace. I'm going to show you something really cool. The Hebrew alphabet is called the Aleph-bet, and it's more than phonetic letters. The Hebrew language is pictorial. So it's so cool. Isn't it neat to know that you can read your Bible in English and then you can go get the Hebrew and then you find out something deeper, but then you can actually look at Hebrew letters and get something deeper. Can we put that up on the screen right there, please? This is the word shalom. Now, Hebrew is read from right to left, okay? Deb said okay. Are y'all here too? Okay. So right to left, the first picture of teeth that we're looking at. It looks like our W. See it? Okay. So that means to destroy. That right there means to destroy. Now look at the second letter. It looks like a shepherd's staff. See it? Looks like a shepherd's staff. Okay. That means authority. Now the third letter looks like a nail, and that's considered an attaching letter. It's putting things together. While the fourth letter, it looks like, it's like a picture of a crashing waves of water. You know, it's got that little thing going up there. And, it's associated with chaos. So let me tell you what shalom means pictorially in Hebrew. To destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. To destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. Somebody's light's going off. It's going to change your household right here. Now, you can see that peace is a part of that armor. When we speak shalom over someone, or even over our own circumstances, we're declaring that the authority that is attached to the chaos is destroyed as we come in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So instead of this just being a greeting, shalom, shalom, or they'll say, how is it with you? Nothing missing, nothing broken. How is it with you? Nothing missing, nothing broken. But now you see the deeper meaning. Shalom means you're going to destroy the authority that's bringing the chaos. That should have just said you. We could go home right now. Listen, whatever the problem we think we're facing is not really the problem at all. It's merely a symptom of a greater issue. Chaos is merely a manifestation of the authority that rules over chaos. Think about it now. You got some, maybe you've seen some little kids that are real chaotic all the time. And people say, oh, they just need a nap. They're just hungry. They're just sleepy. They're just whatever. They always have that excuse, you know. Well, it could be that maybe somebody needs to pray some shalom over these children.
Yeah.
Maybe we might want to pray some shalom over that school over there. Maybe we need to make some shalom declarations, because shalom puts down that authority that's causing the chaos.
Yeah, that's good.
I really like that.
Yeah.
So peace destroys the authority attached to chaos. And we'll talk about that some more. We just have to get past our head knowledge on this stuff. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Now, this has a lot of meaning to it. But what it's saying here, I mentioned order in the beginning. I did that on purpose because that's what our meetings are about. They're about order. That's what this is about. This chaos is out of order.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a demon spirit that will operate in and through people. And so we shut that down with shalom.
Amen.
So, and I want to say this. I'll add this one little thing. I'm early on the clock and I'm already to closing here. So I want to show you something. I quoted exactly right here. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. That word shortly, Rick Renner taught us. I don't know why I think this. We'll look it up. I might be right. But I keep thinking it's the word tacos or something like that. It sounds like a taco somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You don't have to look it up. But we'll, okay. But this is what it means in English. It means that the soldiers are going march, 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 march. And they're all marching together. And if grandma gets in the way, she's going down, because they don't move and they've got cleats on their shoes and their spikes and they're marching and they don't stop. The God of peace. Come on, church. The God of peace puts that stuff down.
That's good.
We'll look up that word for you. It might be another word. I might have it messed up, but I'll tell it to you next time. So peace brings order. Listen, it brings enemies into total submission. That's what peace does. And as we're getting greater understanding of the peace of God that passes understanding, know that peace is accessible to all of us. We need to get that in our thinking. Like, well, Pastor, we know that, but do we know that? Are we thinking about it? Or we think peace is, we just had some peace and quiet. We just had some peace and quiet. You know, that shalom has been a really big word for us all these years, but somehow we just have kind of gone, made it too simple. I mean, just like we make the word, what did awful used to mean? Full of awe. Not anymore. What did awesome used to mean? Something was awesome, like when you went to the Grand Canyon and looked over the magnificent edge of the Grand Canyon. It's awesome. But nowadays people say a taco is awesome. The language of the day has changed so many things. So peace has gotten run into the language of the day. Think of the 60s. Peace, man. Peace, man. We know what kind of peace they were having. Peace, man. But this is real peace. This is powerful peace. This is the peace that will cause the enemy to be obliterated. So just the last thing that I want to say here, let's go to Philippians 4:4, and I'll just show you how to access it every day. This is how you're going to access this peace every day. This powerful peace that will shut down the authority that's trying to run the chaos around you.
Amen.
I declare shalom, shalom over the election.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay, there's one way to start your peace. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. It says careful, that means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Cast your care over on the Lord. He cares for you. Lord, I'm not taking this. I'm not going to be concerned about it. Why should I be concerned about it? You don't sleep at night. Why should I lay awake? You'll take care of it. Amen. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lord, I know you know what the situation is. This is how it is. I'm casting my care on you. You're going to find us a way to get through this. And you start thinking of the good things. Well, I always have the board meeting. You know what the board meeting is? That's when you get together with your whoever you work with, or your husband and wife or best friend or whoever it is. Say, let's just have a board meeting right now. You'll find out that every area went right except this one.
Yeah.
So you're blowing up the picture real big.
Yeah.
And you're letting this one thing in your life destroy the rest of your life.
That's really good.
These scriptures are so awesome. Really awesome. Okay, so be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, God is good. That's the truth. He loves me. That's the truth. And you could go on and on with that. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So when you're thinking on the good stuff, here he comes. Here he comes. But if you're all torn up and you're giving way to the enemy, letting the enemy keep your mind going, there's no peace in that. Because the God of peace is not in that. Amen. And so if you want God in your mind, then put something in your mind that God can get into. So faithfully giving witness to the God of peace means when we experience anxiety and trouble in the world, we turn to God in prayer. We start praying. And as we commune with God in our daily lives, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Church, we just need to believe the peace has the power to change us and influence us in every way we live. We have not given peace its right place. It's a power. It's a force. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And we need to enjoy it. And we can enjoy it if we'll just discipline ourselves to stop and take captive that thought life that is making us run away with stuff. I'm going to ask you something personally. Can you do it? The word says you can.
Right.
Now, I heard someone now say, I could, but I don't want to. I actually heard someone in the spirit say, oh, I could, but I don't want to. I want to. You know why? Because you're the God of your own life. But God is the God of my life. I don't want it. I don't want the chaos. I don't want the trouble. But I use my authority. We were just talking about authority. I will use my authority to shut that chaos down. Church, what a wonderful world it would be if everybody knew that God was good and they knew how to use their authority. And they would do it instead of reacting to everything. Just reacting. Ah, Oh, no, no. Y'all pray. Y'all just need to pray. Well, how about just, no, devil. Listen, every one of us have those moments. In the shower, in the bathroom, in the closet, in the bed, in the wherever we are, where it starts to run away with us. And you got to grab it and kick it out. God loves you. This church loves you. Things can go your way. Your finances can be good. Listen, I'll say this one thing to you. I don't know if this is true for anyone, but just watch out for this. If the same scenario has been happening to you for half your life, most of your life, it's you. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because it's repeating itself because you allow it to repeat yourself. Now, don't everybody sit here and look, oh, holy, like, yeah, I know who that is. No, I think all of us have had a little taste of that. And I think we need to own up to that. We're not all that in a bag of chips. Amen. And so we've all had some places, maybe different places, but we've all had some places where we wanted to be the God of our own life. And it was harder for us to let go of that place. Church, do you know that every time we're together, somehow the word comes out about worry and casting your care? Almost every Wednesday, at least. Y'all realize that? Wonder why? Because that's what we need to work on. All of us. We need to learn to get in control of our minds. We need to put this in there. But this peace thing is big. Now you got a weapon. You got a weapon right now, a shalom weapon. You have a deeper revelation now of shalom. You can stop the chaos. So when you get to work or you get to that client or that boss is trying to, you know, I understand. Listen, your boss is your boss. You're not theirs. And so you respect authority, but there's no, you can certainly pray for your boss, because some people are just positional leaders. I'm the boss and you do it because I said so. And instead of being living out of their personhood, but, chaos can be stopped. We're going to stop it. You receive this word tonight? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this word. We thank you for peace. In the name of Jesus right now, we just pray every person that is suffering from some kind of chaos in their life. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can easily take care of that when we say shalom, shalom. Because this peace is tangible. This peace, is a position, a person, a protection, and power, and we're going to use it. And I declare in the name of Jesus that we are absolutely finished with just allowing chaos to be around us. So we say shalom. We say shalom to the chaos. We destroy the authority that is bringing the chaos. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.